Are you ready to listen to a podcast?
Upskilled.
Masterclass.
Hi, everyone. Thanks for listening. Thanks for downloading the 16th episode of the Upskilled Masterclass. My name's Ralph Tucker. Today, we'll be continuing our series of interviews from the viewpoint of a small business owner. These are real people with real businesses sharing real experiences. We hope by them sharing their knowledge, it'll inspire more people to consider taking a course with Upskilled and chase their dream of becoming a small business owner. My guest today is business coach Terry Billington. Terry, welcome to the Upskilled Masterclass.
It's my pleasure. Thanks for having me, Ralph.
Now, can you tell us a little bit about your business?
Yeah, I run a coaching, mentoring and training business that I've been in for about 10 or so years now. And yeah, I work with both corporate, you know, in the corporate world and also entrepreneurs as individuals as well.
And what is that you actually coach businesses?
I coach businesses on holistically. I'm more of an implementation strategy coach, but actually how to run a business or how to take their business from where it's currently at to where they'd love it to be and what, you know, finding out what their dream and visions are and really putting together strategies to help them to be able to achieve that.
And how many employees do you have?
I actually have two full-time employees that work with me from an administration point of view, but I run my business a little bit differently than maybe some others do in that I have multiple partners that we basically share each other's skills to support each other, or I attract certain people who, have a skill. Like, for example, I have a copywriter that works with me who I, in return for the copy that he writes, I promote what he does and support him to get other business. So I partner with people rather than just pay for their wages as such.
Right. What made you decide to set this business up?
My coaching days way back I was actually a property investment coach initially, and that led me into business coaching because a lot of the people that I were coaching in property, I found were cash flow poor. So they were looking for ways to be able to make more cash flow, and the majority were in business. So that led me into business coaching. I then went into purchase a franchise, a business coaching franchise. And after 7 years with that organisation, I just realised that I was basically doing it anyway. So why pay someone else a franchise cost when I could do it for myself? So that led me into actually starting my own business and going out on my own, building my own team and, like I said, getting partners on board as well, yeah.
Now, I understand you also came from a bookkeeping background, is that right?
Yeah, that's it's so many people I speak to out there and I ask them what they used to do, and it's interesting how it's opposite to what they actually love to do. So my background in bookkeeping started when I was very young, when I was given an option by my father to either finish year 12 at school or go to further education and learn a skill. And bookkeeping was the easiest to get into. So I took that on, and interestingly enough, as much as I don't love it, I was exceptionally good at it, and it's without any doubt supported my business coaching at a level I wouldn't have even imagined. So, yeah, it is something that I can do exceptionally well, but I don't do it myself. I have a bookkeeper that works for me.
Undertaking a small business can be daunting for anyone taking it on. What would you describe as your biggest challenges so far?
The biggest challenges, I guess, from my perspective is just, you know, always looking about what's happening out there, you know, looking at the changes and not just staying in a place where this is how it is, so I'll just keep doing it this way, because things are changing all the time and customers' needs are changing and you've got to be up with it. If you don't keep up with it, you don't keep up with technology, you get left behind. And I see it all the time where business owners are struggling because they're not keeping up with the changes, they're not researching, they're not talking to people, and it just, yeah, it's leaving them so far behind that, you know, I've seen people, even people that I've coached, who will not listen that they need to look at things differently, that their businesses have ended up going into bankruptcy because they just want to do it the way they've always done it. So, you know, and the other side of it that's a big challenge is getting the right people in the right role, because we can attract good people, but it doesn't mean they're necessarily going to love what they do. So making sure you've got good strategies in place to make sure you do have the right people partnering or working with you so that, you know, you can know that you've got a tight ship and you can get a team of awesome people that love what you're doing and you love having them as part of the team. They're probably the two biggest things that I find.
Now, also with that, did that come with any extra study or were you able to pretty much learn on the run by doing research yourself?
With the small business point of view, my husband and I have had a business for 30 years, so it's definitely learning it on the ground as well. I mean, I think from my perspective of what I do, if you haven't run a business, you can't be an efficient coach because you've got to be able to understand what it's like to experience all the different things. However, from a business coaching point of view, I was trained as a coach. I wouldn't say it made me any better or worse. Like if I had have or hadn't have done that training in the past, I wouldn't say whether it would have helped me or not. But, you know, I did it and I learned and I, you know, learned from other coaches. I don't think it was necessarily needed. I think that, you know, if you love business enough and you're, you know, prepared to get in there and experience it from a business owner's point of view, then you've got it. I also did a university degree, although I never finished it. I was 3 units off a degree after 8 years. I quit because I realised that I didn't actually need that in order to be successful in what I'm doing. So it's more my self-learning that I've done. Like I learn off certain people that I know that are out there that are already great. You know, I go out, I find people that are successful in business. I ask them if I can catch up with them. And it's all been that's got me to success. I wouldn't say it's any level of study that has made me better or worse. It's just strategy, really.
You obviously mentor a lot of people that are currently in small business or running businesses themselves. Did you have any people that helped you along the way as a mentor as such?
Yeah, look, I've had multiple mentors along the way, and at the moment I do have 4 mentors that I work with very closely. I have a high-level business mentor who really helps me at the highest level of strategy, just making sure I'm always a step ahead of the game. I have a marketing mentor. I believe even though that's what I studied at university, I believe that someone who actually is doing it exceptionally well is the best person to have as a mentor for that. So I have a marketing mentor. I have a personal mentor. So every now and again when my mindset drifts off, that someone is there to support me to keep on track and make sure that, you know, I'm at the top of my level to be able to support my clients. And the other mentor that I have is a health mentor. I believe very strongly that in small business, if you don't have balance and look after yourself, then, you know, that can be a factor for challenges that you've got in your business too. So like I said, I've had mentors in a lot of areas, but they're the 4 key ones that I've had for a fair while now and I still work with.
And how would you describe your business model, Terry?
My business model, interestingly enough, what I do apart from coaching some clients one-to-one, I also work overseas. So I contract myself out to other people as a facilitator and trainer. So I do overseas work from that perspective, but I also do a lot of my own client work from an online basis. So my business is online, offline. What I'm doing right now and what I will do a lot more of is training people to do what I do. And when I actually work coach clients now, it's all online. So I'm coaching by Zoom or by Skype. And it works exceptionally well because, I mean, obviously there's one of me and there's, you know, with the amount of people that I choose to help, there's a lot of them. So it's more of an online model at the moment.
I'd imagine customer service would play a fairly significant role when you're taking on coaching other people in business.
Yeah, customer service is exceptionally important and it's something that I teach clients and I actually have a PA who handles a lot of that. But from my perspective, it is, you know, our clients are our business and looking after them and being, you know, looking after their needs and how they like to be looked after. And this is providing we've attracted the right people into our business in the first place. Because if we're out there targeting the right client for us, then naturally we should be able to look after them the way they deserve to be looked after because all that's part of the research up front. So customer service based on your ideal client is crucial, and that's what I make sure I do at the highest level, and always keeping in contact, making sure they're happy, you know, even handling objections before they can potentially come up, which means mostly they don't because you already got that handled, but just looking after them so they feel the love is really, really important. That's the difference I've found over the years I've been doing what I'm doing now, is the difference between someone who will already have a coach or already have a trainer who's not fully happy because they're not feeling like they're getting nurtured, to someone who may come to me who then gets the nurturing and gets the attention. So it just, in any business, it is so crucial. It's make or break, definitely.
You said before that you had a marketing mentor. How important also is marketing for your business and like you said earlier, keeping up with the times and the strategies that are involved with that?
Yeah, marketing is really, really key because at the moment, with the internet the way that it is, and with all social media and the way that you can get out there so much easier than we used to before, it's crucial to know the right marketing strategies in order to be able to make sure that you're shining, that you're standing above others. And because even though I do know marketing fairly well myself and I even coach clients on it, so I always look for someone else who is doing it better. So, you know, my marketing mentor is a global. He's out there globally working with global clients. And it's, you know, if I wasn't talking to him and having regular sessions with him, I would definitely be left behind. It's so, so important to make sure marketing is out there and researching at the highest level to be looking, okay, what's happening on social media now? What should I have on my website? What are people looking for when they're looking for our services? Where are they looking? So that's another thing. It's like customer service. It's crucial that you keep on top of it. Yeah.
Another crucial aspect would be time management, given the fact that you probably spread yourself very thin in terms of all of your clients. How important is it for you to stay organised and on top of things?
Yeah, that's another really important factor. And my PA helped me massively with that because, I mean, I have so many different things I'm generally working on at one time that if I can't stay focused with my time management where I'm going, now I allocate 2 hours to work on this. And then once that 2 hours is up, then I need to go on to that next thing. Otherwise, my focus is split and it's going everywhere. So I have a really good calendar system. My PA holds me to account with it. My mentors hold me to account with it. And it's just efficiency because I know from my own perspective, if I say I'll be right and I can hold myself to account, it won't happen. So I have strategies and mechanisms put in place to make sure time management is handled. And I'm not perfect and no one is at it. However, I've got it pretty well set up that I know that if there's a priority that comes in that suddenly I need to deal with it now over something else, that things can shift because I've got the right strategies in place to allow that to happen.
Now, what would you be describing as your biggest costs in business?
The biggest, it's interesting because I don't look at anything majorly of what I do as a cost. I look at everything that I pay money out to as an investment. So if I look at from that perspective, I could say, you know, what I pay out in marketing and what I pay out in wages are a cost, but they're not really. I look at that as more an investment in the support that I get from my business. But they are definitely, when I look at my profit and loss, that's definitely the highest on there. Marketing, without any doubt, 30% of my business income goes out in marketing. So therefore, I know that 30% out is going to bring me many, many more percent in. So I don't mind paying that out because I get multiple in based on that.
Cash flow is important for any business. How do you manage yours?
Yeah, I've got, once again, my personal assistant does a lot of this with me, not for me. I'm being a bookkeeper because I know this stuff so well. I tend to like to know where everything's at. So I've got a cash flow system that I look at. I do a projection. I have a 90-day projection based on my 12-month goals. And every single week, my cash in and cash out is measured as against the projection versus the actual. So I always know where things are at. And then based on if there's a big expense coming up a certain time down the line, like I need to travel to an event or something and that needs to be factored in, then planning is done to make sure that cash will be there to cover that and anything else, obviously, that's coming up. So I met, you know, my cash flow is looked at on a weekly basis without any doubt. Really simple, simple system, but something that works efficiently well. So I always know where I'm at. I certainly don't look at my bank account and go, I'm fine. Yeah, I do measure based on projection as well.
You mentioned there that you had your background in bookkeeping, so you would obviously know how important it is to employ the services of an accountant or somebody to look after your books. What about also from a legal perspective? How important is that for your business to have a legal representative that can monitor what's going on in your business in case something does in fact go wrong?
I think it's important to have that person available. It's not someone that you would use all the time. Unlike an accountant where or a bookkeeper where you would use those a lot more, but just to make sure you're covering yourself and any agreements, contracts that you've got, you have someone look over. So like from my perspective, I have an online program where I have mentors that actually mentor the clients for me and I just facilitate the program. So therefore I have to make sure it legally my agreements or the contracts with the mentors are, you know, all line up to not only cover myself but to cover them. So I think it's really important that we do have great people that can support us in those areas that we can fall back on and just make sure that our businesses are running correctly, because we think we know enough to be able to get out there and run a business. But in actual fact, we're not lawyers, we're not accountants, unless we run those types of businesses. So we do need that level of support. So I'd say definitely an awesome accountant that can support you, obviously tax saving and whatever else, and a legal representative that can advise you when need be. And, you know, these people in some respects should be a bit more like your employees in your business, where you treat them with respect and you know they're there when you need them.
Being a business coach yourself, you would talk to a lot of your clients about exit strategies and so forth. Do you have one for your business?
I actually do. I've just recently started setting that up even at a higher level, where I am now, my programs that I'm running, I'm actually training coaches to be able to run them in the future. So my exit out of that, it will create eventually a passive income for me, and I will just have people overseeing, sort of like a bit of a license model, I guess, with a view that eventually I will, you know, sell that to someone else, sell the rights of it to someone else. But from my own perspective, like being in business to me, it's something that I think I will always have something to do with in the future. Because I love it. I love business. I love helping people. But without any doubt, I've got my own, and I support others to do the same as well.
What are your plans for the future in your business?
Yeah, this pretty much what I just said then is to have my online business so other people can run it. And because I do travel a lot, like I run courses over in Bali. We're starting up in South Africa later this year, and there's other countries that I'll be starting up. So my plan is to travel a lot more, work more with global entrepreneurs, and still live that lifestyle of where I can travel, be working with people and enjoying all the different cultures around the world. So at the moment, I'm stepping into that. I've been doing this for about 2 years now. So it's best of both worlds, get to travel, help other people and run a successful business myself.
Terry, you've been very generous with your time today. What would you say would be the major factors or the key things for anyone looking to set up or continue to run their own small business?
Number one is make sure you are doing a majority of what you love to do in your business yourself. So you can outsource certain things very cost effectively now. There's so many virtual assistants, there's so many ways that you can outsource things that you don't love. Put the time and effort into doing what you do love. And then while you're first setting up, you do need to be considering doing a lot of things, but if you're not doing 80% of your time doing what you love, you can very easily lose interest in it. And definitely get those people on board. Like, you know, the most cost-effective thing to outsource initially, unless you're a bookkeeper or an accountant yourself, is definitely bookkeeping. So get the right people in the right role, because when you look at what each person as a business owner is worth per hour based on what they're offering, you can pay someone else a lot less rate to do the things that you don't love. Set all that up efficiently. Find a model in the industry that you're in and make sure you see that model works effectively and model off it. So getting a really good business model yourself is essential. And people out there are already doing amazing things. Don't feel like you've got to be too unique. If someone's doing it great, just model off them. You don't need it to do it the same, but just model off them. So, I mean, it doesn't need to be difficult. So, yeah, just get out there and give it a go.
Terry, how would people find your business if they want to look for you online?
Yeah, they can look up my website, which is www.tcb.rocks. Or they could, find me on Facebook, which is under either Terry Christine Billington, which is the TCB, or TCB, which is my page, my business page on Facebook. I'm also on LinkedIn, on all the social media, so they can just search me under my name and I'm sure they would find me.
Terry, you've been very generous, as I said, with your time today. Thanks so much for your valuable insights and joining us on the Upskilled Masterclass.
Awesome. I love what you're doing.
There she is, business coach Terry Billington. Terry's story just goes to show if you've got an idea, passion and discipline, you too can make a small business work. Thanks for taking the time out to listen today. If you've got any questions or feedback, please head to the website upskilled.edu.au. Don't forget, you can like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter. You can also leave us a rating or review on iTunes, which would be greatly appreciated. And if you really enjoyed today's podcast with business coach Terry Billington, tell a friend. I'm Ralph Tucker. Thanks for listening. Thanks for downloading. And we'll catch you next time on the Upskilled Masterclass.
Upskilled. Upskilled. Masterclass.